continue. Go back to the first hypo, skip over the facts, don't look at them at all, focus on the question or questions or instructions, which are typically at the end. Think about the question for a few moments, then perform steps 1, 2, and 3 on the hypo. You don't know yet what those steps are, but they will have the effect of breaking the hypo down into the components, premises suggested in diagram 6. Then execute your response, one component, one premise, one issue, roughly one paragraph at a time. A little over 90 minutes into the exam should bring you back to the combination hypo for the second time. Turn to page 100. Stop. Continue. Now and only now, some 90 minutes later, do you complete the preliminary overview as to this exercise by doing what? Skip over the facts, focus on the question or instruction at the close of the hypo. Perform steps 1, 2, 3, breaking the hypo down into units. Execute your response, one unit, one premise, one issue, one paragraph at a time. A little over 3 hours into the exam, you're back to the final hypo on page 113. Complete the preliminary overview, perform steps 1, 2, and 3, breaking the hypo down, execute your response on paper. That's how it's going to go, a disciplined, orderly process on every exam. Quickly review exam instructions. First phase of the preliminary overview, flip through the entire exam. Second phase, back to the first hypo, skip over the facts, focus on the question or questions at the end, perform steps 1, 2, 3, write your response, one premise, i.e. one issue, roughly one paragraph after another. Note that the second phase of the preliminary overview, skip over facts to focus on the question, will only be completed as you come back to each successive hypo. Why do I say go back to the first hypo? Could you begin with the second or third? Strictly speaking, so long as you clearly label what you're doing, you don't have to follow the chronology of the exam. I've noted that some professors instruct that each hypothetical be addressed in a separate blue book. I say go back to the first hypo because if you were to say to me, I prefer to start with the second or third, I'd have to accuse you of major mistake number one. I'd have to accuse you of peeking at the facts. If you haven't looked at the facts, which you shouldn't have at this point, you should be in no position to judge which hypothetical you prefer to address first. I think that's a fool's game, trying to decide which hypothetical to address first. It invites confusion and all the problems associated with major mistake number one. It's much simpler to move through the exam chronologically, giving each exercise roughly the amount of time allotted. Note, if you have one of those rare, progressive, hard-working professors I mentioned earlier, who, not wanting to penalize an understandable gap in knowledge, gives a choice of hypos, choose 3 of 5, 5 of 7, that's precisely an invitation to make major mistake number one. The professor invites you to plunge into the facts and decide, which hypo do I want to address first? Because of the extra work entailed for the professor, it's rare that you'll encounter a choice of hypos. Perhaps once or twice in 3 years of law school, often never. My advice if you're given a choice is twofold. In the first instance, ignore the choice. Do the first 3, the first 5. Avoid the confusion of deciding. However, given a choice, many must choose. If you must choose, get into the facts just long enough to get a sense of, this one's impossible. I don't recognize anything. Then get out. That's the one to choose. If you must choose, choose the hypo that on first impression seems most problematic. Why? Because your classmates will likely have a similar reaction. Most will avoid the killer hypo. There'll be less competition. At the very least, you'll impress the professor with your daring. Moreover, do you think there's going to be an easier hypo on the exam? There might be one with a more obvious issue, and everyone gravitates to it. But once you get more involved with the hypo, here come the killer issues. Perhaps you don't even see those other issues. In any event, once you get the loose approach in place, once you're able to systematically break hypos down into components, units, and handle each unit masterfully, there's no such thing as a killer hypothetical. Handling every hypo becomes a predictable exercise, a series of premises generating a series of narrowly focused issues to be analyzed, one after another, in a series of concise paragraphs. So don't waste time or get confused trying to figure out which hypo to address. Why do I instruct that you skip over the facts and go immediately to the question or instruction at the end? This advice departs radically from conventional wisdom, which instructs that you immediately plunge into the facts, reading carefully to identify issue-generating words and phrases. I say skip over the facts because your purpose is to answer the question, follow the instruction. To the extent your response is not relevant to a question or instruction, presumably you'll get no credit for it. In their eagerness to show off the mass of information pulsing in their brains, there's a tendency on the part of many law students to stray from the question. If I were to sit in on an exam, look over a student's shoulder, and say, "You know, what you just spent the last 10 minutes discussing isn't really called for by the professor's question," that student would likely turn and say, "Well, perhaps not strictly speaking, but you have to admit, this is some pretty lawyer-like stuff I'm putting down. Surely I'm going to get credit for it." The assumption is that the professor is going to read carefully through the entire exam response to discover this pearl.